my big thing about this is, having been a person who struggled seriously with mental health in the run-up to a severe clinical depression, I think the writing and the performing, the evocation of panic attacks and anxiety here is beautifully done, and very important that it's out there in the Doctor Who universe, because I think it's fair to say that at conventions I meet people who are very keen to open up about mental health issues and how important the show has been to them. So for us to foreground somebody with mental health issues who is nevertheless persevering and not just surviving, but as the Doctor points out to her, to him, her, succeeding, was brilliantly done by Tim, our writer.
Casting these episodes with Chris has been such a kind of gift, really, because as soon as you say, do you want to be in Doctor Who, people usually go, ooh. But then if you say, do you want to be in Doctor Who with Christopher Eccleston, everybody's kind of so up for that. So we have got the most incredible people to come in and play, really, on some occasions quite small roles, but that everyone is so willing and so enthusiastic and excited to be here. And so today, obviously, we had incredible Pip Torrens, who everybody will know the second that they see his face, like, oh gosh, he's done so much. And he gave us a brilliant Jack Frost.
I'm Pip Torrens and I'm playing Jack Frost.
Tell me who I am.
On Rebos, you're called the Bitter King. On Cacophony, the Cold Bringer, you go by many names, but since we're nearest to Earth, I ought to call you Jack Frost.
Ah, I haven't heard that name in a long, long time.
The last of the Winter Gods.
Am I so very late to the party? My dynasty awaits.
He's a controlling presence. And I mean, in this, he's written very much as one of the sort of old gods, perhaps almost like one of the old Norse gods. And he expects, despite having been in exile, it seems, for a long time, he expects the respect due to his prominence. And he's very disappointed when he discovers that actually he's the last of these icy gods. And the Doctor takes him down. So I think just, you know, degree of hauteur, and just try and make it, you know, recognizably a power-hungry personality, I should say, you know, lacking in empathy, which is true of all great villains, I think.
I really wanted to pit Christopher Eccleston up against a powerful foe, you know, his version of, say, Sutekh or a God of Ragnarok, just an immense enemy and an immense power for him to square up against. And Jack Frost was such a great character to write. So many fun lines. And whilst the Ninth Doctor is very grounded, he's a villain that's wild and flighty, and I think they make a great juxtaposition.
He's pretty mischievous and gets up to all sorts of nasty tricks. And of course, making him mischievous is to sort of demystify the absolute terror of real cold that must have existed back in the times before central heating in the Middle Ages and things like that. But I think he's a very old character in myth. I'm not sure how far back he goes.
Wow. Pretty sure this place isn't meant to be a winter wonderland.
Frost, are you there?
Please, call me Jack. Yeah, let's make it Your Majesty.
I've always been a huge fan, and it's wonderful to see Chris continuing the role in this extraordinary format. And we've all been remarking on how vivid the writing is and how full of imagery it is, and we can just see where we're going, even though we're just sort of working the scenes and then recording them. But we can absolutely visualize where we are in outer space in this extraordinary adventure at every point. I was in the episode, which was an extraordinary period in the David Tennant occupancy of the role, where he was unaware of his identity and was actually working as a schoolmaster in a boys' public school in 1913. And I played the headmaster in that. And then there was an extraordinary kind of time flip. And Freema, who played his assistant, was there in another role, although her character understood who she was and understood that she was there to protect the Doctor. So it was a very interesting, almost sort of Blade Runner-y approach to the idea of memory and identity and things like that. And it was great fun to do. Although it rained a lot and there was quite a lot of night shooting, so it was fairly arduous as a shoot. But I think it was one of the most popular episodes, and certainly lots of fans have mentioned it to me after the event.
I'm Talisa Teixeira, and I'm playing Dr. Lenny Fisk.
Remember why you're doing this, remember who it's for. You can be the best that you can be. Say it.
I can be the best that I can be.
And you probably muttered that, so say it again.
I can be the best that I can be.
And keep saying it, keep going. We love you so much. I can't wait to see you soon.
I can be the best that I can be. I can be the best that I can be. I can be the best that I can be. I can be the best that I can be.
I loved reading the very first sort of summation of the character. Suffers from anxiety, but brave, clever and caring is what it says here. I just thought talking about mental health in something that's very futuristic just seemed to make sense to me. That, yeah, we can definitely have the new version of the iPad or a hologram, but I think the human aspect of mental health can be a very present thing and something that we can really talk about as a future problem. Someone that openly suffers it from myself, I think it was just really beautiful to be able to really encapsulate that and have the Doctor basically cure me, which was a treat, and say that, you know, we're all human and everything will be all right, even if you've got every superpower under the sun.
I'm Amy Manson, and I'm playing Jeannie and the System.
System?
Hello, Dr. Fisk.
Are you enjoying your new voice print?
It is very sexy.
I made it say that.
You're a mess.
I just wanted to add some warmth to it.
Why do I want my system to have the voice of my wife?
So I can nag you from afar?
I just loved her heart and that whole support system with somebody who, you know, is going through mental health, and myself having gone through exactly the same. I find the beauty within their relationship and just that rock back home, and often people don't get the, you know, the kind of accolades for them being that support to someone who's suffering from mental health. So I loved that aspect of it. And then also that the system was kind of the antithesis of who Jeannie is, and that I could kind of, you know, make that flavorful and cheeky and just have fun with it, which is what this is about.
Wonderful to see Amy Manson, who plays truly unhinged character Malady in the wonderful HBO show The Nevers that we're both on at the moment. And because of the nature of the pandemic, we've spent rather less time in each other's company. Well, that's true for the entire cast than we would normally have liked. So we've all been pretty remote, and even filming, as you probably know, has gone forward in sort of quite a particularly sort of compartmentalised way. So wonderful to see her here today, although she's doing a complete opposite to her role in The Nevers. She's playing a sort of disembodied, eternally helpful computer system. But no, wonderful to see her.
The scripts also were a huge appeal, just because they're just so clever and fun, and the one-liners are just cracking. So great.
It also felt like we were doing long-distance Zoom calls, and that feels very current and very real to all of us at the moment. And just having that relationship with someone that's on Earth and someone that's on a space shuttle. It might be Brazil and England right now, and you can't get from place to place because of COVID, but it just felt really nice to be able to access that quite easily.
Yeah, that comfort, that love that you get from a solid relationship like that.
Yeah. When we crack these long-term cryopods, Daniel is going to that star for exposure, even if I have to pilot him across the galaxy myself. Thank you.